Glad you could be with us this morning. We just had an ordination service at the beginning. We ordained John Slayton as an elder in this church. I want to talk this morning about what is an elder. And the title of the message, An Elder Is. People have a lot of different ideas about elders. The Greek word for elder, one of the words used in the Bible is presbyteros. And that's where we get our word presbyter. And it means someone who's in charge. And sometimes people get the idea that the elders are in charge of the church. And in one sense, they are administrators. But Jesus Christ is the head of the church, not the elders. And, you know, that's something we're going to talk today about. We're going to look at what the Bible says an elder is. There's basically three different words used. And when I went to his seminar, Ben Merrill pointed out that the Apostle Paul especially uses all three terms for the same office. The church today, we've divided those into different offices. And it wasn't meant to be. The word elder, when used in one tense in the Bible, can actually just mean an older man or an older woman. So it can be used in either way, but this is an office. Peter was an apostle. He was one of the original 12, and he was an elder in the church. So Peter, in this letter today, in 1 Peter, he's finishing up a letter to this church, and he wants to talk to the elders at the close of the letter. This is in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. He says, "So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you. Not for shameful gain, but eagerly. Not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God oppresses the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on Him, because He cares for you. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called us to His eternal glory in Christ, will Himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To Him be dominion forever and ever. Amen." Father, I thank You so much for the witness of Your Word. Father, I ask that You open our eyes today, open our hearts to hear from heaven, especially for the elders here today, Lord, to understand what it is that we have been called to do. I ask Your blessing on those who are here. Father, I just ask that this be a time that we will draw closer to You, closer together, and that we will not have anything to do with the schemes of the enemy. I know that he is at work, Lord. And I ask You to rebuke him in the name of Jesus Christ. And I ask this prayer in His name. Amen. The word elder that Peter uses here is bishop. That's where we get our word bishop. It means an overseer of a local church who guards, supervises, and helps. When I went to his conference, Ben Merrill made a point that stuck with me. It was on the elders, and he said, too many times in the Christian church, especially, we look at the elders as the bosses, and the ministers are the employees. And he said, gentlemen, that is backwards, and it is unscriptural. He said, when God was dealing with Moses, when Moses had finally had it, because God would say, your people that you brought out, when they messed up, he'd say, Moses, your people. And Moses would argue and say, God, they're your people. And God said, they're your people when they're acting up. And he said, Brother Moses finally threw his hand up, this minister, this man of God, and he said, I can't do this by myself. And he said, God said, it's about time that you figured that out. He said, Moses, you appoint 70 elders. You pick them. Now, there's God. He said, I want you to handpick these men, Moses. And he said, I'm going to take the spirit that's on you and I'm going to place it on these men. And he said, they're going to help you accomplish the task I've put before you. You see, Moses was the prophet. He was a man of God that God called to lead Israel out of Egypt. And he and his brother Aaron, God said, Aaron will be your prophet and to Pharaoh you'll be God. Well, Moses didn't want the job after he's in the desert for a while. He had over 1 million people griping at him. We're thirsty. We're hungry. Did you bring us out here to die? We don't understand why we got to go through this. When are we going to get to Canaan? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? And Moses said, God, I can't take this anymore. And Brother Merrill pointed out to God, said, I want you to appoint elders. And ever since then, in the nation of Israel, the elder played a very important role. Not as the boss of the prophet, but as one who worked alongside of the prophets. The elders are there to encourage the minister of the church. They are there to support. Are they there to advise? Yes, they are there to advise. Are they there to lord it over him? No, they are not there to lord it over him. They work together. And Peter is an elder. And he is one of the three main elders at the Church of Jerusalem. There was Peter, James, and John. You hear him mentioned a lot in the book of Acts. Peter, James, and John, they were the top three elders in the Church of Jerusalem. When they had the argument over whether the Gentiles need to be circumcised, it was Peter who stood up and said, look, our fathers couldn't bear this. We can't do it. Why should we put that on them? And everybody quieted down as Peter the elder explained to them, this is not God's plan. This is what we did in the law, and we don't do it anymore, and let's not put the Gentiles through it. So as an elder, Peter stood up as a teacher in the early church and said, this isn't from God. And they listened to him. And the elders agreed, and they sent word out to the churches, to the Gentiles. They sent letters out and said, we as your elders, this is what we're telling you. We never sent you this notice that you had to be circumcised and obey the law of Moses. They said, what we're asking you to do is to abstain from sexual sin, abstain from eating strangled meat or the meat with blood in it. And they said, remember the poor. And it said, the Gentiles receive that gladly. Wow, we can do that. You know, through the Holy Spirit, you're not going to lay all these rules on us. And that's one of the functions of an elder. He is an overseer. That means one who oversees what goes on in the body of Christ. He is also called a shepherd. In the Greek, the word for shepherd also means pastor. And if you noticed in Peter's letter, he said pastors, talking to the elders, shepherds. He said when the chief pastor appears, people call me pastor. Anyone that's an elder in this church is a pastor. That's not an office I hold alone. Well, now we pay you be the minister. I understand that, and I thank you very much for that, that I can be a full-time pastor, but I'm not the only pastor in this church. There are 5 or 6 men here who are pastors. Amen. That's what an elder is. And Peter is addressing the elders in this church that he's talking to. And he says, remember something. You're a pastor, you're a shepherd, but there's only one chief shepherd. And that's Jesus Christ. He says, he's the one you will answer to. These are his sheep. God reminds me of that a lot when I'm praying, especially when I complain about things going on in the church. We're his sheep. I'm a sheep, just like you, but I'm a shepherd. I'm a sheep that God has appointed to be a shepherd, but God reminds me, you're not the shepherd. Only Jesus Christ is the shepherd. So if you're an elder, you better be looking to the chief shepherd, because he's the one you'll answer to. And you better understand that when the chief shepherd said things like, I came here to serve, not to be served, he said, if you're going to follow me, That's the heart of an elder. You're a servant. You're a servant of the church. He said, do you want to be great? Serve. One night he washed his men's feet. He said, do you understand what I've done to you? You call me Lord and Master. And he said, you're right. If I, your Lord and Master, wash your feet, you ought to be willing to wash each other's feet. He was talking to the elders. These were the future elders of what he would call his church. And he said, if I'm going to wash your feet, you need to wash others. He said, who's greater, he who serves or he who sits at the table? He said, isn't it the one who sits at the table? But he said, I came here as a servant. Now, he's Lord. He's Master. He's Chief. But he said, I came here to serve you. He set the example of what an elder is. He's called a shepherd, a pastor. An elder is ordained by the Holy Spirit. That's what you saw happen here. Why do we lay hands on people? Because that has been ordained since the first church. The laying on of hands, the transference of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit are transferred to the candidate. That's why Paul told Timothy in his epistle, don't lay hands on anyone suddenly, and do not be a partaker of other men's sins. Paul said, Timothy, just because somebody jumps up and says, I think I'm called to do this, he said, the church doesn't run up and lay hands on them and say, okay, we agree with you. You get to know the person. You pray about it if you're going to do it right. You better be praying. John was nominated. We accepted the nomination. We talked to John. We came back to the congregation because that's how he decided we're going to do this. And we said, what do you think? And you guys voted him in for majority. And we said, we believe this is a call. And when we lay hands on somebody, I fully expect when I do that, that he will receive the Holy Spirit and he will receive gifts from the Holy Spirit in order to fill this office. Paul told the Ephesian elders, you are overseers of the church, you are shepherds, and the Holy Spirit has appointed this. He said to Timothy, if a man desires that office, it's a good thing, but it's the Holy Spirit that makes you an elder. Never forget that. It is the Holy Spirit who okays you being an elder. It is the Holy Spirit who gifts you and anoints you to be an elder. And that means you are ordained by the Holy Spirit. Does that mean you're holier than anybody else and you're on a pedestal? No. We established that. Jesus said you're a servant. When Harry Truman did his last tour in office, a guy in the media asked him, how's it feel to step down? And Truman said, I'm not stepping down, I'm stepping up. He said, as the President of the United States, I worked for every one of you. He said, now I get to step down and the next president gets to work for me. That's how it is with an elder. We're stepping into the position of a servant. That's hard. That's why Paul told Timothy, don't let a baby Christian be an elder because he'll get the fat head. He said, he'll get swelled up and he'll fall into the condemnation of the devil. We talked about that this morning. The devil said, I think I'll set my throne above God. So you can go to your head if you're not careful. Paul said to the church at Ephesus that you are overseers appointed by the Holy Spirit, and he bought the church with his blood. Now, how serious does God take that? He shed the blood of his Son for our redemption. And when he places you as an overseer in the church, he says those are blood-bought sheep that you're in charge of. Paul also said to the elders that you have to be men of discernment. He warned them that he said there will be wolves rise up against the flock. You know, Jesus warned us about wolves, church, and he said they look just like sheep. They are dressed like sheep. In other words, it's a deception. Jesus said they talk like sheep, they smell like sheep, they act like sheep, but he said they ain't sheep. And Paul said to these elders, you need to be men of discernment. That's only done through the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not allowed to judge whether somebody's saved or not. I'm not God. I can't judge that. But Jesus fully expects his elders to be overseers of the flock. That means guardians. He said, I'm entrusting these people to your care. These are my sheep. You take care of them. What if you delivered something very precious, say one of your children, to somebody, and you was going on a vacation, you said, I want you to take care of my kid. First thing that does, it shows your trust and faith in that person or persons that you're going to entrust your children or your grandchildren to them. What if you got back and they said, "Oh, no, man, I let them outside to play and they just didn't come back"? We're not going to put up with that. Neither will God. In the body of Christ, the elders are overseers. You know what that means? Sometimes we have to make very unpopular decisions. It's His church, not ours. And Paul said to these elders in Ephesus, God has made you an overseer. And he said, I want to warn you about something. He said, I warned you for 3 years with tears. Wolves are coming. Sometimes they'll come from outside the flock. Those are the easy ones to defend against elders. You see the attack coming from outside. They're not one of us. They don't belong here. And it's easy to say, nope, that's going to stop right there at the door. The hard part is when the wolves rise up from the middle of you. And there are people you know, and you're uncomfortable, and you think, man, what am I going to do with this? And Paul says, watch it. Don't let them get a foothold. Paul said he commended these elders to the Word of God. Elders, that is our foundation. That is our book. Oh, give me that book, John Wesley was fond of saying. Give me that book. That's the rule. That's what we compare. That's the litmus. That's the ruler that we use to compare doctrine. Does it coincide with the Word? If it doesn't, then you don't allow it in. An elder is a teacher. Paul told Timothy that they had to be able to teach, not only by word, but by example. If you don't live what you're teaching, your words don't mean anything. They're empty. James said that. He said, if you say you have faith but you don't have works, I'll say to you, show me your faith apart from works. And the Amplified Bible says, show me your alleged faith. You say you have this faith. He said, I'll show you what I believe by what I do. And Paul said, Timothy, an elder has to be able to teach. Not just by what he says, but by what he does. In other words, he has to believe so much what he professes out of his mouth that it affects his life. An elder is a servant of Christ and his body. I touched on that at the beginning. Just as Jesus came to serve. Paul told Titus that they must not be arrogant. They have to be upright, holy, and disciplined. He must love what is good and hold firm to the trustworthy word, so he can give instruction in sound doctrine and encourage those who need it and rebuke those who contradict it. That is one of the unpleasant parts of the office of elder sometimes, is you have to rebuke. You don't play favorites. You call sin, sin, even if it's a family member. It's easy to talk to a Christian in the body who you're not related to in that sense. They're not blood kin. Well, let it be somebody that's kin to you. Let it be somebody you're very close to. But you see, an elder has to be a disciplinarian at times, and it's just like raising your children. God said, he who spares the rod hates his son. You love your son more than you love God, and God says you don't want to save his soul from death. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod will drive it far from him. That works in the church too. Paul told Titus, they have to be men of integrity. They have to live what they preach. They have to be able to teach. And he says, when need be, they have to be able to rebuke. An elder is a pastor. He is a shepherd. He's not a hireling. Jesus said the hireling sees the wolf come and he runs because the sheep aren't his. The shepherd, the elder, has to stand his ground in the face of any kind of opposition. When it's easier to duck and run, when it's easier to hide or sweep something under the rug, that's not the call of the elder. This is God's body. This is God's church. And it'll be his way. That's a hard part of the office of elder. Peter reminds the elder what this is going to take. This takes a throwing of oneself wholly upon Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you, the farther I go in ministry, the more I see my need for Jesus Christ. The farther I go as a leader, the more I call out to Him and say, God, I don't know what I'm doing. Things come up and they're unique, and God, help me with this. And that's where He wants us, elders. Just like Moses. When Moses finally threw his hands up and said, I don't know what I'm doing, God said, now we can work together. And I think, like Moses, elders, you need to be the kind of men that get in God's face and say, I'm not going any further till you show me your glory. I love that. God said, Moses, you take your people out of here, and I'm not going with you because I'll kill them. And Moses said, if you're not going, I'm not going. That's the spirit we need to have, elders. God, if you're not in this, I'm not going to be in it. I'm not moving till you're with me. I'm not doing anything till you show me what to do. And God said, all right, Moses, I'll go with you. And Moses said, that's not enough. I want to see your glory. Was he testing God? He was saying, no, I got to have something else to go on, Lord. It's been talk lately. You know, you've been telling me to do this, and I know you're God, but show me. And that pleased God. He said, well, you can't see my face and live, son, but I'm going to let you see my back. And you know, after Moses come off from that experience, you don't read of him complaining to God again. I've been there, folks. I've seen the glory. An elder must be a man who centers his life on Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ will hold sway over everything, including family and career. Peter says that those who use the office of elder in the way that God intends will receive an unfading crown of glory. And from what I read in the book of Revelation, if Jesus places the crown of glory on the head of the elder that has served him, that elder is going to bow at his feet and throw the crown at his feet. That's what I read in Revelation. The 24 elders fall at his feet and they throw their crowns at his feet and they said, you're worthy. And they're going to serve him in the kingdom of heaven just like they served him here. What a promise. The Lord said, I got a crown for you if you fulfill this calling. This is a very solemn office, full of responsibilities. I was talking to somebody a while back, and they said, I understand you're a preacher. And I said, yeah. And they said, there's not a lot of money in that, is there? I said, no, but the retirement plan is great. Yeah. My Heavenly Father paves the kingdom of heaven with gold. Someday I'll walk on gold and His pavement. And probably wonder, why do we make such a big deal about that on the earth? They're using it for cobblestones here. Peter warns the elder that when you accept the office of elder, you take upon yourselves a lot of responsibility, and you especially draw the attention of Satan. Satan will test you, tempt you. He will try to manipulate you and look for your weak spot. He did it to the Lord. He'll do it to us. Peter said he's like a lion. I think in this scripture where Peter's talking, he's not shifting his focus off of the elders. He says you need to clothe yourself with humility, because if you're not humble, you won't follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. He said you need to be alert and sober, because your enemy is going to try everything in his power to bring you down. Satan always will attack the leadership. God says if you strike the shepherd, the sheep will be scattered. Now that doesn't mean that you people don't understand what it means to follow Christ, but that's just how it works. To be an elder, Peter says, after you've suffered for a while. You know, I didn't know much what that meant until I became an elder. And it's like, yeah, I see what you're talking about. Peter said, now after you suffer for a while, God's going to reward you. It's a call to suffer. Because once you get that burden on your heart for the sheep, and you start seeing things as a shepherd, and you pray for the sheep, and your heart's burdened and your heart breaks, it's a suffering. When you see sin get into the camp and run rampant, your heart should break over that, because you're a shepherd and it will kill the sheep. And you don't want the sheep to be dead. You want them to flourish. You should want them to have the life that Jesus Christ said, I come to give you, the abundant life. Not cars and clothes and riches, the abundant spiritual life that's in Jesus Christ. Peter said, the only way, elder, you're going to accomplish this is by standing firm in the faith. An elder is a leader, but to succeed, he must learn to be a follower, a disciple of Jesus Christ. Would you stand with me this morning? It's not my intention to glorify being an elder or magnify. My intention is to get a very realistic view. What is an elder? What can you expect from your elders? If you're here this morning and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'll ask you to come and sit on the front row and be glad to talk with you. If you're here this morning and you're an immersed believer in Christ and you say, I'd like to place membership in this church, then please come and sit up front as we sing the song of invitation, and we'll talk to you about church membership. What are we singing?
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling.
Like. These folks have come forward. They want to place membership in this church. They all tell me they are immersed believers in Christ. So I would like to ask you to join with me in welcoming them to the church. Donna Cabage had a grandson injured in a wreck. She called me the other day and told me, Trevor Cabage, so please remember him in prayer. Remember all the other things we've got going on. We got people sick. We've had people traveling. Be praying for them. Be praying for John as a new elder in the church, that God will strengthen him, encourage him. I also ask that you be back tonight, as many as you can. I want to start a series called Gods at War. It's a Kyle Eidelman series, and we're going to discover that all of us as Christians tend to have idols. And we want to try to find out what those idols are and how we can defeat them. God wants throne in our lives. He wants the throne, and He said, I won't share it. So I'm asking you to come back at 6 tonight. We're going to start this God's at War. Any announcements that I've missed?
Rick Pray's team has practice Saturday at 5.
Okay, Saturday at 5. Right. Jess Ferris's mom passed away, and they've already had the funeral. But be remembering Jess, especially at this difficult time. It was kind of a sudden thing. So. Well, would you stand with me again? And Brother Gary will close in prayer. Then please come and welcome these folks into the membership.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word that we've heard today. And Father, we just pray for the leading of the Holy Spirit in all our lives, especially the elders. But Father, we just ask You to give us strength and courage when You open doors for us to step through them, and knowing that we can always count on You. Father, we thank You for Rick and his message today. We ask that each and every one here receive a blessing from that word. We know, Father, that when Your word goes out, it does not come back unfruitful. It always produces fruit. Be with us and guide us as we go through our week. Bring us back here safely tonight that we can draw closer to you and Your word again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Celebrate, Jesus, celebrate. Celebrate, Jesus, celebrate. Celebrate, Jesus, celebrate. Celebrate, Jesus, celebrate.